Hi, Dominique, and welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead and on Payrolls Friday. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well, Andrew. Thank you very well. That was a good data piece of data we got this morning.
Definitely. So quick timestamp. It's 2:30 p.m. London time, so an hour after payrolls came out. So let's kind of dive right in. Obviously, this is the biggest thing, but we can talk about anything you'd like over the past week. Any data points, market reactions, Fed speeches, etc.
So we started the week with Powell telling us that employment and GDP data were pointing in different directions. Growth was stronger than implied by the employment data. And he explains that historically, when you had that divergence, the employment data had proved to be the more reliable. But he added the GDP revisions actually gave him more confidence in the growth data. And then the payroll number we got this morning, not just the payroll, but the huge revisions. But for today, 254,000 against 150 consensus, which, by the way, Sam's model had predicted. So that number is going to further give confidence to Powell that it's actually the GDP data that was pointing in the correct direction. And for all the people who were worried about Sam's rule, the unemployment rate fell to 4.1%. So I guess the Sam's rule has been untriggered. But to be fair, she herself had said that you couldn't extrapolate the past value of the rule to the current employment situation. But the bottom line is we're getting an employment report that shows a very strong and tight labor market. I would add that it's also consistent with my views that what's driven some of the changes in the data, like for instance, the increase in unemployment, it was illegal immigration. And now that the administration has tightened the border, that surge is gone. And so, in my view, that's why we have a lower unemployment rate, because we no longer have the increase in the supply of labor to match the demand. And of course, with a tighter labor market, we are getting faster wage growth. So last month revised from 4.4 month on month to 0.5% month on month. This month, 0.4%. So, politically, this policy of letting people in the US in large number is no longer sustainable. So that sort of a caution we had for strong growth, it's gone. And so it could be that the Fed got lucky in the sense that we had disinflation with strong growth, which basically means a positive supply shock. In my view, most of the positive supply shock over the past year was this surge in immigration, and the positive shock is not there. So let's see what happens. I don't think just one data point is going to change the Fed. I think November is more or less on automatic pilot unless something really dramatic happens. But for next year, if the trends we saw today continue, the Fed is going to have to rethink its easing plans. You are on mute.
Yeah, sorry. One, I just want to say a few people asked me about bringing back the beachy background. Certainly, as things get colder in Northern Hemisphere, so that's why I did that. And then, so the average hours per week. That was a little bit softer. Is that anything that looks like that's trending down?
So it's an indicator with very low volatility. What's biased, the reason it's been trending down since the pandemic is there has been a change in people's preference for part-time. So if you look at full-time work and part-time work, the share of part-time work is increasing. It's a trend, and it's part-time for voluntary reason, not the part-time because you can't find anything else. That's called part-time for economic reason. And actually, it was up a little bit last month, and this month is it's down. So no, nothing there, I think.
Any other data that was interesting this week that made you think about your money?
No, I mean we had we had the claims as always, and they were trending down. Though continuing claims have been super stable. We had the PMIs, big jump in the services PMI. But Andrew, you know what I think of the services PMI. So no, for those people who pay attention to the services PMI, it certainly is in line with the bumper NFP we just bought.
All right, and then for the week ahead, what are the things that stand out or
CPI, no, I'm joking. We get the CPI and PPI. And as always, the Fed is focusing on the PC. So we'll need the PP. So the CPI is on Thursday, the PPI is on Friday. We'll need the PPI to get the estimate of the PC. And as we saw last month, a jump in the CPI does not necessarily imply a jump in the PC. So this is the most important data of the week, but I don't see it changing the big picture very much. We would need an enormous change for the Fed to cut more or to cut less than the 25 basis point. It's planned in November. And the big uncertainty, I don't think is in the economic data anymore. It's really with the elections. We had a webinar, we showed that, if the Fed, if Trump wins and he kicks out, expels 11 million people, we will have the mother of recessions. On the other hand, if Harris wins and she's forced by a red Congress to do a really tough fiscal consolidation, growth and inflation will fall below trend. The Fed will have to ease more than it's currently planning. So at this stage, I see the main uncertainty with the election, which is really on a razor's edge, very hard to predict.
And the idea so right now it's pretty even for Trump versus Harris, and the odds are the Senate's most likely to go Republican and Congress most likely to go Democrat. Is that, or Congress is pretty close, I guess.
So if you look at pollsters' predictions, that's what they say. But the problem is pollsters do not look at Congress composition in the light of the White House. So they take those as two independent events, which they are not. If there is enough of a, say, blue wave to take Harris to the White House, we're likely to see the House turn blue. So the base case scenario with my base case scenario with little conviction, because there is so little difference between Trump and Harris, is blue White House, blue House, and red Senate, which is the scenario where you would likely see above trend growth, perhaps even above
That's
trend of.
by the best for the markets.
Yeah.
Anything else for Esther? Is anything this, you know?
So next week we also have, in terms of data, the University of Michigan Consumer Confidence. That survey, I think, will be interesting for inflation expectations. Short-term expectations are coming down. Long-term expectations never budged. They are higher than before the pandemic. But perhaps what's interesting is Fed speakers. I think we have like eight of them, including Doves, like Williams, Kugler. I think even Mary Daly might be speaking. And so I have a strong suspicion that in light of this week's NFP, even the Doves are going to, oh, Goolsbee is definitely one of the Doves dove. I suspect they are going to tone down their calls for more Fed cuts. But yeah, that's about it.
Okay, cool. An interesting piece this past week, Henry, who's been out for paternity leave the last few weeks, so kind of easing back and be back full time. He put out Global Rates Weekly, along with you and others, looking at different US election scenario analysis and a focus on Bank of England hawks. And our view is that they're depending then on a very strong consumer, which may not continue to hold. Paresh wrote some great pieces, not just on oil, but impacts of the basically what's happening in the Middle East, so on energy, but also on treasuries and general risk. So the Docker strike, that's been settled, or it's in the process of being settled. The US ports worker strike.
Oh, so yeah. So a port strike is something that executive power can deal with by telling people to go back to work. Now, the administration wouldn't do that. We are so close to the election. So instead, they got the dockers and the ports to extend their current contract and to push back the negotiation until after the election.
Okay, great. Restarted the PCA model, definitely triggering some new trades. Shout out to Liang for an unbelievable trade on going long. I know we liked this trade a month ago, should close, but even after the announcement, putting on the Chinese equities trade, which we then closed like 4 days later because I think it was up like 25 or 30%. Short period of time. That was an amazing trade.
Amazing.
Obviously, we talked about Sam's payrolls model, and again, that model continues to perform quite well. And it's kind of it from my side. So, just want to kind of wish everyone happy trading and a nice weekend. And yeah, we look forward to engaging with our clients next week.
Indeed.
Okay, thank you.